Hey guys, Footy Focus Podcast episode four now.
Yeah, four. Yeah. So this is the round two review and round three preview on the 15th of June.
So you've got a special rating of the
ladder. Do you want to say who's number one?
Support's top. We've been top for 13 weeks now in a row.
Yeah, and number two is the Kangaroos. So our podcast, we make up the top two spots.
It's history making, surely. It's never happened before.
I know, yeah. So maybe we keep doing it until we aren't in those positions.
So we'll go on to go straight to the game recap. So we
Are you happy that footy's back?
Oh, of course. It's the 16-minute quarters takes a bit getting used to, but no crowds as well. But yeah, definitely good to have footy back.
Yeah, I can watch more footy because I watched a lot this week.
There's less game time.
Less game time, and I guess just being starved of. Yeah, it's good to have footy back. So whether it was the shortened time and the hunger for games, I ended up renewing my KO membership and watching.
You're on the free trial or the?
Well, what happened was they offered like a $2 a month offer at the start of the season, like for the first 2 months, and then I had to cancel it because everything got cancelled. Then I renewed it and I wanted that offer again, and they couldn't offer it, so I emailed them, and the guy's like, "Oh, that offer is not valid anymore. Sorry about that. Keep an eye out for more." And I replied saying, "Like, what the hell? I had to cancel because there was no live sport because of COVID." Yeah. And they're like, "Oh, we apologize for the inconvenience. Keep an eye out. We can't like."
I suspect you wouldn't be the only one.
Yeah, that's pretty annoying. I understand why they can't offer it again, but it's sucks.
Well, it's yeah, you wouldn't be the only one in that boat. But yeah, what's that? Nearly 100 games.
So that's my arrow.
That's your arrow, right?
Yeah, KO.
Shez's arrow. No copyright intended there. So we got the Port. Oh, we got your game next up, but we'll do the Port.
Yeah, we'll start the reviews.
Yeah, so the showdown first up. So obviously, 75-point victory to my boys. So I thought the two stats that stood out, uncontested possessions, 225 versus 134.
That's a whopping, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it was 91 uncontested marks by Port too, which is, smashing. And then tackles, we out-tackled them by 16, which is...
Yeah, had more of the ball probably.
We had more of the ball and you shouldn't... Yeah, it just shows Adelaide's lack of work rate, I guess.
Did Sloan get injured?
Yeah, he got a knock to the thigh, but the game was done by that stage.
What quarter was that?
Third quarter. I think it was 45 points margin at that stage. So the game is pretty much done. You don't need to risk him anymore. Thought Rosie was his move into the midfield, so that's probably cemented his place in the midfield. 8 clearances.
So is he a starting mid now, essentially?
Yeah, I think he's starting half forward.
Yeah.
But yeah,
he's in that rotation.
Yeah, he's in the rotation now. So I think
That's good.
Probably single figure centre clearances last year was in there for the majority of the game. So eight clearances compared to his career best of 2 previously. Some smart tap ons as well. So he's just having a great 24-25 game start to his career.
Does he look bigger?
He looks like he's put on a bit of muscle, but he hasn't lost any speed. Yeah. But you don't want those players putting on being too bulky anyway. Yeah. He's going to lose some of that.
Hard to believe he's the third best South Australian in his draft year.
The third best?
Yeah, because Lukosius and Rankin went above him, so and they expected to be better. So
I think...
It's good year. Good draft crop.
We'll mention Gold Coast later on, but I think you'd be happy with those two at the moment anyway. Todd Marshall, we mentioned him a fair bit last year. So he's had a great start to the year. 2 goals, and he looks perfectly suited to that number two role behind Dixon. So he's having a really good 2 games. Both probably don't need to mention, but he's having a career best.
He won the medal again.
I probably thought Dersma or Motlop was best on ground. I think Boak's won a few medals, and he was great, but I thought Dersma and Motlop were more damaging.
Yeah, and Marshall, like what you said, he's a perfect foil for Dixon.
Yeah.
And he's a good ball user for a big guy, isn't he? Very smooth, one touch.
Yeah, doesn't cough up the ball too many. Yeah, Dersma, speaking of the draftee from 2018, so he's already a great two-way winger, but he added 3 goals. I think we'll talk about it with your game a bit more, but I think 3 goals in this kind of format is probably worth about 4 or 5 in these shortened quarters. And yeah, Butters, the other one I wanted to mention, he's got a lot of hype over his preseason. I think that's justified at the moment. He's probably the lesser known of the 3 draftees, but he's probably, if not the best performing player at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
At least a second. And Stevie Motlop too, 24 possessions and 2 goals. He's had 2 really disappointing years since he moved back to Port. So yeah. I think the only thing he probably did was that showdown winner.
Yeah, I don't trust Motlop. I still reckon, like, give it a few games, he'll end up being the same. Yeah, probably. Yeah. And then that'll coincide with Port Adelaide's form slump.
Give me a prediction.
Yeah, like, I mean...
Oh, I wouldn't expect us to be top for the rest of the year. Let's preface that.
Yeah, you can't maintain that percentage. But, Motlop, not convinced. He does have he can string together a few good games. Yeah. But, we'll see. But it's good to see, Butters have a good game. Thought I saw some reporters mention him in the best on ground. Like, Butters, he could have won the best medal as well, potentially.
Well, he was really impressive in the first half. He obviously kicked that soccer goal from midair.
That should be leading goal of the year at the moment.
I thought Dersma was probably more damaging because he just had the 3 goals as well. I thought Motlop and Dersma were best on, but Boak was a deserving winner as well. Wanted to get your thoughts about the Crows, though.
Oh, yeah.
are they your tip for the Wooden Spoon, or what's your
I don't know. It's too early. Prediction? Too early, but they're probably a bottom 4 team because they're essentially rebuilding. So a lot of young players. They got rid of the Jenkins, Betts, all these guys,
Greenwood.
So they're starting from scratch essentially, and I mean the supporters, media, they all have to be patient. So they've been a good, like, successful team for a long period of time now.
Yeah, they never bottomed out.
Yeah, so the lowest number of wins they've had was 7 or something, I read.
Yeah.
And they played in the grand final just 2 years ago. So it's expected. People need to stop being so critical. They're going through a bit of a tough patch in terms of culture at the moment, but they're a club with strong culture. And so I reckon, they'll get through it. Just keep pumping in games to the young players.
Well, I think that's what I was going to say. I think guys like Gallucci and Chase Jones, both first-round picks the last couple of years, they're not... Gallucci wasn't in the squad. Chase Jones didn't play. Not on the injury list. So they should be pumping games into those guys. I mean, McKissi, if I'm saying that right, McHenry, they should be playing 4 years as well.
And like Shane McAdam and Stengel, these guys they picked up.
Yeah.
They should start playing them and see what they've got. And see if they're up to it. They have 3 first-round draft picks or something like that. Yeah. Maybe 2 this year. So... they've got a strong hand.
That's best way to fast track a rebuild is to get pump games into these players.
Yeah, and then if they can trade Brad Crouch out and get another one, which I think they should definitely consider doing. They won't be dwelling. They won't be cellar dwellers for too long.
So move on to your game. Was it an upset or?
It was definitely an upset, even though Reece Shaw said it wasn't. But that's his confidence in the group, which is good.
More than your confidence in the group.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
tip the Giants. Us,
tipping rationally. But it was a great game. I was edge of my seat for the whole game, essentially. And some individual performances to touch on. Todd Goldstein, back to his All-Australian best. I think he's coming equal second or third in the coaches' votes. He demolished Jacob, especially in the second half. Didn't come off the ground. 51 hit-outs. Kicked a freakish goal out of the ruck against Finlayson.
Yeah, I heard that on the radio, yeah.
Yeah, so that was good. And, our draft class and trade-in class, I suppose, of 2018 all played really well. Led by Polak, he was arguably best on ground.
He's got coaches' votes in both games, too.
Yeah, he did. He was... pretty sharp. Oh, I saw him, by the way.
Where's that?
I was driving to work and I was passing Ashburton, that suburb, and I saw this guy and a little girl, or not a little girl, like a woman, but she was short, and they were walking a dog, probably his missus, and it was Polak. I could, across the street. I should have, yelled at him to, play well or come on our podcast.
Yeah, not after that. he should be doing better than Ashburton, though. Surely he's...
No, Ashburton's a good area.
It's a great area, but he's got a fair big contract. He should be in the Toorak or Brighton areas.
Yeah, he's
getting
paid a million according to Kane Corns.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were all good. A lot of long bombs. So yeah, that's one thing I found. Kicking... A few of the goals came from long range.
Mm.
And then we were lowering our eyes, hitting up forward, hitting up players. So
Davis and Haynes weren't.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, I don't think they took an intercept mark. So
okay.
Yeah. Whatever the game plan Richshaw has implemented, yeah, worked and they executed. At times it looked like GWS were getting on top and like had momentum, but our defensive structure was really good. So it's been our weakest part for the last couple of years under Brad Scott, but it looked really different. Like we've lost Scott Thompson, but Josh Walker has been able to fill in that seamlessly.
Yeah.
And guys like McDonald and McMillan, two weeping boys, they were really good, especially McDonald with his job on Green.
So Green didn't hear much about Green, and he's been talked up as the best small, medium-sized forward in the game. So McDonald
blanketed a lot of him perfectly. Yeah, for GWS, Callum Ward made his return, and he was decent. Whitfield started off well, and then I think I read somewhere a couple of the young Kangaroo players were meant to man up on him.
Yeah.
And after quarter time, they did that really well. Yeah. So I think Scott and Curtis Taylor. Nullified him, and Cadwell was the other one that was pretty good. So
first rounder, wasn't he?
First round a couple of years ago, So 182 centimeters, so not that tall, but he was pretty quick and he looked pretty smooth. So he's out of contract at the end of the year, and he's a Victorian boy, so I think a few clubs would be into him.
Look for Hatley too, just Jackson Hatley.
They've got so many like in the reserves. Yeah, Hatley. Tom Green didn't get a game. Yeah. And Taranto is obviously, injured. So, yeah, it was a good win, and I just need to back it up this week against Sydney.
Okay, and where's that?
That's at Marvel's Stadium on Sunday, yeah. So, we might touch on it a bit later, but Sydney's been a bit of a team we had struggle with. So
the fly-in, fly-out worked for you boys.
It seemed to work.
And for the Dons too, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe, would that be something clubs look at in the future? It's a small sample size, I know.
I think if you get another couple of good performances like that, then for sure.
Depends on the feedback with the players and start. Well, mainly the players think, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think the travel arrangements are just going to be out of whack this season overall. I mean, some places you're going to spend 4 weeks away, 4 weeks at home. So
maybe, after all this passes, I reckon, it might be something to really consider, because maybe it gives the players less time to focus on the game, getting there a day early. It's just...
Well, Melbourne,
get it done in a day.
Yeah, Melbourne to Sydney, you can do fly in, fly out. You can't do it Melbourne to Perth.
That's true. Yeah. That's a good point, Perth is probably the only place you can't do it. The other places you should be able to do it.
Yeah. Well, the downtime, I think the Dons had much more downtime than the Roos. I think they had about 3 hours and 50 or 40 minutes downtime. So, it obviously worked for them. They ran over the top. Both teams ran over the top. So, you can't use that as an excuse now, I guess.
Yeah. So, moving on to the second game we'll have a quick look at. Gold Coast, they defeated West Coast in the upset of the year so far, 90-46.
Yeah, so I thought that was the best result for footy. I think we're talked up the Gold Coast. I think Gold Coast fans, we just like when they win, just because they've just copped it the last 7 or 8 years. So
it's good to see them.
Yeah, I think Matt Rowell was the story. He was, he's probably the best first year player I can remember since Selwood. Best on ground in his second game.
It was unbelievable,
Three Brownlow votes. He's got most the 10 likely. Coaches votes.
He got 171 Supercoach points, which was like the equal highest of the round, I think. I think Lockie Neal got the same, but absolutely insane.
Yeah, 26 plus two goals.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson obviously was pretty good too. And I think they're really good mix, like picks one and
compliment
two.
Complement each other.
Yeah, you don't want to pick two bulls inside. You want to pick an inside and an outside. And it looks like they've got the perfect balance there.
He's been compared to Michael Voss. Do you reckon?
Yeah, I know it's hype. Red hair?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. Leadership as well.
Even to your playing style and things. But that's a good good endorsement of what he is, He could carry this team, into finals and beyond.
Yeah, he already looks like a skipper. Not sure when you can do it. You got Swallow at the moment, but
no, don't do a Melbourne. Don't do a Melbourne.
Don't do a Melbourne.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give the captaincy to like a 20-year-old.
Yeah, who were out of the game. They were out of the game 5 years later, I think. Yeah. Grimes and...
Keep Swallow there until, Raoul and maybe someone else can, take the reins.
Yeah, so I thought Gov had a really bad night. So he had... didn't really get many intercept possessions, coughed it up a few times, and he's got 1 week for shoving Sexton into a fence.
No, it wasn't for that. It was for a punch. No.
Was it for a punch, was it?
Yeah, it was for a punch.
Oh, it was for a shove. I haven't even seen the punch.
Yeah, that Gov got radio. It was he was interviewed and he said he didn't even know he had made contact with Sexton's chin.
Oh, like, really?
He clearly did in the video, so I think they're going to challenge it and try to get off. But he should get 1 week for the shot into the fence anyway.
Well, that's what I thought it was for, yeah. Because that was very undisciplined, yeah.
He's got form. He did that to Guelphy.
Yeah, in Subiaco last year. I think it was, yeah. So, and you got a bit of a
thug, yeah. So,
so Holman, I think he's the tagger for Gold Coast. He had this bump on Shuey in the last quarter. So he knocked Shuey off the ball and then Gold Coast swept it forward for a goal. So I think that probably summed up the whole night.
Yeah.
Now I want to ask you, should we get carried away with Gold Coast after one win?
Definitely.
Because they were 3-1 last year and then they lost 18 straight. Now I know 3-1, I think they beat Sydney maybe last year, but they didn't really have a standout.
They had more, there was more system to this win, wasn't there? Like,
it's a good team.
More enthusiasm and So I think they can't get carried away because young teams are going to be inconsistent.
Yeah.
But when you look at who didn't play, like Swallow, Rankin, Ellis, Will Brody, 2 meter Peter didn't play, and a couple of youngsters in Flanders and Sharp from last year, they've got the depth there. So, yeah, even if they do cop a couple of injuries, I can see these players coming in and filling a void. So what did you think of Ben King and Weller and Tuk Miller, their performances?
Yeah, I think Weller tends to stand out in Gold Coast wins. I think the next step for him is probably to perform when Gold Coast aren't doing that well or having a bad game, because he's always in the top three votes when they win.
Yeah, he got coaches' votes. I think after Al, he was the next highest. Yeah. So they paid a big price for him. They could have had Andrew Brayshaw, but they traded that pick. So, I think,
and Ben King, he was probably one of the better players last year in his first year, and he continues at a nice set shot goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they just have a better list this year, like we're talking about with the depth. Like they've added guys like Greenwood and Brandon Ellis, and they've obviously got Rowland Anderson. And like you said, they're missing a few players as well.
They're allowed to have more players on their list compared to other clubs, so they've got to take advantage of it and try to find some gems. And a guy called Connor Bodorek, he was from last year's draft, and I thought he was pretty impressive too.
Yeah.
So it's a small defender, pretty clean coming off the back line, 16 touches. So it's obviously Raul's going to... Eclipse the rest of the players and the Suns, get it? So
joke in there.
Yeah, Butterick was good.
And you caught the D's and Carlton game?
We might do this one quickly because we've been talking for a while. So this was a pretty average game, to be honest. Like it felt like two bottom six teams playing. Especially after the first quarter, because Melbourne's first quarter was really good. They looked really clean and attacking and full of energy.
Yeah.
Especially Petrarca. I mean, he started off the season really well.
Yeah, 10 votes. 10 votes. Coach's votes, yeah.
Okay, yeah. He's been one of the better players in the competition so far. And you reckon he might be a smoky for the Brownlow?
Yeah, maybe the Brownlow, maybe. I think, he is a player that will catch votes when he plays well. I think Brownlow's a bit of a stretch, but I think All Australian might be a chance if they at least get close to the eight.
Yeah, okay. Can't see that happening at the moment just because after quarter time, Carlton were like all over him.
Yeah.
So they couldn't get their ball movement going. Like Carlton were defending well. Jacob Wittering was amazing and sort of nullified Tom McDonald, who's been pretty average for so long now.
And he shut down Tom Lynch in the first round too. So
yes. So And so you need guys like Sam Welsh and Prusevski Seaton and Paddy Dow to come in and live up to their draft pick.
Yeah.
So without that happening, I feel like, Carlton, they're just going to stagnate and they're not going to make it. Because their effort was really good in the last three quarters. Yeah. I reckon they should have won the game. A couple of players lost really gettable goals. Yeah. Jack Martin and Cripps.
Yeah, and you'd expect those two. They're probably the class at Carlton, so yeah.
Yeah, so when you see guys like Rosie, Hunter Clark, even Simpkin, Taranto, the Parfits, all playing consistently, maybe not outstanding. Thomas, you can add to that too. Yeah, I mean, they haven't been outstanding, but they've been really consistent.
Yeah.
So if the Carlton youth can do that, then I think that'll go a long way for them winning maybe a handful of games this year. Otherwise, it's going to be the same old. They're going to finish bottom four again, and the cycle repeats. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I thought, when you're talking about Matt Rowell before, I think it's unfair to compare Sam Walsh to...
Different players.
Yeah, different players. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you're gonna compare them because they're number one draft picks. So, yeah, I think Sam Walsh, ball use definitely needs to improve because I saw a few snippets where he's bringing the ball inside 50 and just, wasting the opportunity. But yeah, he's definitely got to improve there, but he's still early days for him.
Mm-hmm. I think. And they've lost Nick Newman with a serious injury. So
Patella, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Cruiser and Charlie Kerner's not playing, so injuries haven't been kind to them. So might be another long year, unfortunately, for Blues supporters. We might touch on some hot topics. So I want to ask you about the centre bounce. Did you watch a bit of footy this week?
Yeah, I watched two or three.
Did you see the centre bounce get recalled?
Yeah, it's happened. I haven't noticed it as much the last couple of years, but I think, probably this season, actually, I think I've noticed it a bit more. Recalled a fair more times than normal.
And you see it more now that there's a longer break leading into the start after every goal. So I think that it just happens too often and it's anticlimactic and they need to do something to, make it better. Either improve the skill.
Umpires,
Or just throw it up. I reckon just throw it up. Like, I know the player, the traditionalist might like that bouncing the ball, but I don't see why they just can't do it at the start of each quarter or, start of the game and just throw it up for the rest.
Well, that's the thing. You get four bounces for the game, then it doesn't detract from the spectacle, surely, if you throw it up.
Yeah, and if the AFL is so adamant on speeding the game up, then I think it's a no-brainer. I want to ask you, did you see Sean Burgoyne's sling tackle on Dangerfield?
Yeah, I thought that was... He's got, $1,000 fine?
He got a fine, earlier this... the next today, day. Yeah. What do you think? Do you have any comments?
Oh, it's, way too lenient. I mean, I love Sean back from, when he played for Port.
It's not even about Sean. It's just about the...
Oh, no, he's a different player to someone that's, knocking out like Gov before. Gov's got form.
Yeah.
He's
need to look at these in terms of, the actual...
Yeah, of course.
Thing.
No, I'm saying he's a fair player. Yeah. But, that regardless, deserved at least a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Because it's the action, because the AFL... Do you reckon they're just trying to cover themselves for lawsuits in the future? Because...
potentially.
Because if there is a concussion, no matter how insignificant the contact was, if they suspend him in the future down the track, they'll be like, oh, it's not our fault because we actually suspended this player.
Yeah.
Even if it was a bump, hip and shoulder, accidentally catching the chin. Whereas if Dangerfield, he wasn't concussed.
Yeah.
And then... The lawsuit might not be why didn't you suspend? That will never come to that.
Well, there was uproar over this, and as you said, Dangerfield got up and played. He didn't go to the bench even. So imagine if he did get concussed.
Then he'd be suspended.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the issue. Yeah. And look, tonight the AFL have amended the law. So dangerous tackles now include where a single arm is pinned, because both arms pinning was included before. So I guess if this incident happened next week, he would have got a week under this guideline, but he's playing this week, Sean. But
yeah, but you can still sling someone even if they don't have any arms pinned. He could be holding the ball and you could still be slung and your head could still
get off,
hit the ground. But and then this rule is just going to come up again. It's the action.
So you don't think the amendment's going to change
if it's about
this just includes single arm pinning?
Yeah, no, you can sling tackle people without pinning an arm. You just grab them by the hips and you sling them.
So you're saying it should just be sling?
Yeah, of course. Sling, it's the action. Yeah. It's the movement. So, they've changed it a bit. It helps.
Yeah.
It's the right move. It covers this. It hasn't gone far enough. So you're going to see this come up, maybe not this year, but again, in the future. Someone's going to sling a player and they're going to be holding the ball and they're going to hit their head on the ground and then they're going to get off.
Yeah.
And it's just going to repeat. So they've done well, but they just got to go further. It's the action.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
So we just got to wait until that comes up again.
I want to ask you, because it happened in your game at a crucial stage. So players getting pushed in the back and then and then a downfield free.
I thought you went to sling tackle. No. Yeah, we're going to talk about getting pushed in the back after you dispose the ball.
And the downfield free. You reckon that's a fair punishment for
I think it is, yeah. I've seen a lot of players, they do put pressure on the player kicking it. And normally, it's just a tap on the ass or something, but sometimes it's actual shove, yeah. And it's a push.
Yeah.
And one of the fundamental rules are you can't push in the back.
Yeah.
Like we're taught that growing up, like juniors and everything. So, yeah, of course. Like if, I mean, I guess if it's a touch and yeah. then, yeah, then I guess you let it go. But if it's a forceful enough push and, yeah, the player kicking it is, it falls over or, yeah. You have to pay it.
Yes, I think there were a few goals on the weekend from it.
Yeah, the umpires were on it.
So maybe that's the deterrent for players to do it. But it's generally a frustration thing. You haven't caught up to a player and you just
yeah. And I think, shoving the arms. Did Treloar do his hamstrings after getting pushed? They were talking about
potentially.
This
potentially. Might have been last year, wasn't it? Yeah. When you ripped it off the bone.
Yeah, so I think it might have been from a push. So that's a... Yeah, definitely. And I'll ask you one. With the one-match suspensions, players get... for breaching the COVID rules. Do you think it's fair?
Yeah, I think you can't argue. The guidelines are pretty clear. Yeah. Ollie's one of them, Ollie Wines, yeah. And Pickett's another one. He's probably the other main one which we wanted to see play. Yeah. So,
But it's only if you get caught you get suspended.
Yeah, well, the Essendon player, he self-reported. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it just looking at the Crows having a 16-player training session going unpunished. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand other clubs might have been breaking rules, but yeah, it's got to be across the board. But I doubt whether that'll be the last one-match suspension for a breach. There'll be more, surely.
Yeah, okay. Is that for the whole... Yeah, must be, yeah, until rules are there. Okay.
Yeah. And then how about Higgins' mark in the Richmond Pies game? Did you think that was a mark?
That was a hard one. Like, at the time, it looked over the line.
Yeah.
Looking replay. At the replay, and the umpire's call was a behind.
Yeah, they both.
Looking at the replay, it was really hard because they have shit camera angles again.
So if it's hard, is that a behind or is that?
If it's what?
If it's inconclusive.
If it's umpire's call.
So then, isn't that a behind?
Yeah, it's a behind.
But.
So, okay. But they were saying it's clearly a mark, which it wasn't clearly.
Yeah.
So it probably should have been insufficient.
It's a draw game, and he's kicked a goal.
Yeah, so I mean, big consequences, but. It's just the camera angle again, like because they have the camera angle looking towards the goals, but this was taken near the behind line, so you had the padding of the goalpost. So they needed the camera to be on the other goalpost looking towards the point post.
Surely.
So they've got two cameras inside the padding. They need another two looking towards the two behind posts.
Well, they've spent all this time building
so
the arc.
Stupid. So
you've got
stupid.
To, it's like you said, the sling's like, it's got to cover every possible scenario.
Just put the camera, get two more cameras, and then, it'll be better.
See, like, this happens in a final. If that happened in a final, just imagine the uproar. Could cost them the game.
Yeah. What else can we talk about? Might preview a couple of games now because we've done almost half an hour.
Good time.
Did you want to talk about which game you reckon?
Yeah, I'll do Pies versus Saints.
Okay.
So you made some good notes here. Good job. So I think the Saints, obviously, they went down to the Roos round one with Cainton's heroics in the last quarter, and then they've won on the weekend. So
yeah,
I think
smashed the Dogs,
Yeah, it's big upset. That's probably an upset too, actually. So the Saints, they're probably playing a more tacky brand. So they're playing ultra-defensive Pies who held Tigers to, five goals on the weekend. So it's like a soccer scoreline.
Yeah, so we know the Pies defense is going to stand up. So it'll be interesting to see how the pace of the St. Kilda midfield and their nippy forwards. How they can put pressure on the Pies defense and kick enough goals.
Yeah, well, I think any team going against the Pies these days, it's a bit like the Rants and McGovern just don't kick it to Howe because Howe's just dominating the last probably 12 months, really.
Mm-hmm. And I think the Pies need to find avenues to goal because, the goalie doesn't kick him. And
Stevenson didn't play. He was left out.
Yeah, and you can't rely on Cameron and Cox isn't playing.
Yeah.
So who else do they have? Like,
well, Cox was there more to bring the ball to ground, not so much to kick it back. So,
Phillips was the only multiple goal kicker for them, I think. So, yeah, unless they're going to find, unless their midfielders are going to drift forward, they need key forwards forwards to kick goals. So, that'll be a good game. I think it'll be pretty tight. I think it's at the MCG, so I might tip the Pies.
Yeah.
Just because they've got more experience and I trust them a bit more. Yeah. But the Saints are, yeah, improving.
Yeah, I think, yeah, well, they should have really beaten the Roosters. They should be 2-0.
Mm-hmm. Who's your tip?
Yeah, I think the Pies too. I'm not putting any upsets as I did last round. Mm-hmm. Maybe one upset.
We might look at the Lions and Eagles as well. So, yeah, do you have any comments?
Yeah, I think it's a bit similar. So Lions have been unimpressive the first two rounds. Just snuck over Freo at home. Probably same with the Eagles as well. They've been talked up as a flag favourite. I think a lot of people tipped them.
The Eagles.
Yeah, when the Hubs came into place. And they mm-hmm. just beat the D's and they were pretty average in round one. So I think the key matchup is probably Shepherd versus Cameron. So Cameron's four first half mm-hmm. goals, probably the difference. I love Tim Kelly. He's played two good games. But he probably just needs to hit the scoreboard a bit more like he did with the Cats. And Darlings versus Harris Andrews, probably the other matchup as well. And I'm not sure if Rayner should be...
You don't think he'll go to key Kennedy. Forward to Kennedy, yeah?
No, I think Darling's the number one key for West Coast now, right? Yeah. Kennedy's more up and down these days.
Mm.
And I think Rayner's probably selection dropping chance because Fagan's shown really big faith in him the last few years and he really hasn't stood up.
He's not doing much. I thought McGluggage was a bit down on his form. Yeah.
He's getting a bit more attention after he's All-Australian.
Was he All-Australian? I can't remember.
In the squad at least.
Well, he's an All-Australian.
Yeah. That's the only one that matters.
That's the one you're referring to.
Yes.
Okay.
So I still expect the Eagles to win, but that should be a good game.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. If the Eagles lose, they'll be under the pump. Yeah. I'd be going for the Lions just because I don't think the Eagles have adapted to the Hubs. I know it's been one game against Gold Coast, but just a bit more faith in the Lions being able to nullify their defense and the Zorkos and Berries and all these midfielders to get on top of West Coast. And... Okay, who do Port play? You guys have the Gold Coast. No, you guys
Freo.
Freo. So you're back. So you guys are. Do you know when the Crows and Port head up?
Yeah, I think it should be the next few days. No, probably Thursday. Actually, I think we play on Saturday. From memory. Yeah.
So you guys will be there for about 3 weeks or something.
Yeah. Well, I think it's at least four, right? If it's four matches, I think it's four. So it should be interesting. Mm. I think you want to do that. It's good for the group, I think, just to get away for 4 weeks. I mean, the Roos haven't done it yet, but it's good for teams to go away for 4 weeks, get a bit of bonding.
Yeah, so you have to tag Fife and Walters, and that'll go a long way.
Yeah, 52 possessions and 5 goals on the weekend. Yeah, between them.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the top two.
Yeah, okay.
Any other hot thoughts?
No, I reckon Kangaroos, Sydney... Yeah, I'll tip the Roos. I think, but Heaney normally plays well against us, so we need to lock down on him because he'd be the X factor and the chance of winning. And McDonald to Papley to shut him down, hopefully. And maybe Ben Brown can get on the end of a couple because he's had a quietish start by his standards.
Yeah. And look out for the Dogs and Giants too, because Dogs can't afford to go zipping three.
Mm-hmm. I think after this coming round, we can start to ride off. Because you need 10 wins to get in, and if you haven't got a couple, then it makes it tough. All right, until next time.
See you guys.
See ya.